a boy's best friend is his mother.
No wire hangers! What's wire hangers doing in this closet when I told you no wire hangers ever?
You make this personal, and it isn't.
Not personal? That is my work. My sweat, my time away from my kids. If that's not personal, I don't know what it...
Excuse me. It is after 10. Give my daughter the paint shop, please.
Mrs. Greenway, I was going to...
Oh, good. Go ahead.
Just a few minutes.
Well, please, it's after 10. It's after 10. I don't see why she has to have this pain.
Ma'am, it's not my patient.
It's time for a shot. You understand? Do something. All she has to do is hold out until 10. And it's past 10. She's in pain. My daughter is in pain.
From Mommy Dearest to Mrs. Bates to Mama Rose, mothers in the movies have been a diverse and fascinating group. They have ranged from being fierce to nurturing, sweet to downright terrifying. Time Magazine's film critic Richard Corliss has written a new book on the subject called Mom in the Movies, The Iconic Screen Mothers You Love and a Few You Love to Hate. It's published by Simon & Schuster in partnership with Turner Classic Movies, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Richard Corliss back to our show. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you, Leonard. Lovely to be with you.
When you think of movie mothers, who's the first one that comes to your mind?
Oh, it's a collage. It's a crazy collage after working on this book for a year. But and from those clips that you used, it sounds as if mothers make their points mainly by shouting. Men have their fists, and mothers their vocal cords. When I asked people as I was writing this book what mother they thought should absolutely be in it, the answer was very often Angela Lansbury and the Manchurian Candidate, whether that says more about my friends than about the strength of her role, which is amazing, I can't say.
I'm even weirder. My first thought was White Heat with Jimmy Cagney. I don't remember the name of the actress who played his mother, but she was scary.
Margaret Wycherly. And she, before that, had played Sergeant York, Gary Cooper's mother in Sergeant York. And in White Heat, she is fiercely devoted. There are wonderful mothers in this book and, of course, in all movies, and there are terrible mothers. Cody Jarrett's mother, James Cagney's mother, is every bit as devoted to her son as Irene Dunne and I Remember Mama. It's just that her son is a criminal, and his one dream is to realize her wish that he would make it to the top of the world, and at the end of the film he does.
In early films, were mothers always the wonderful people we would want our mothers to be?
You mean in silent films,
yes,
for example? Well, the movies were, of course, an infant art in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, and the people on screen and the actors playing them were usually quite young. The first mother I write about is Mary Queen of Scots in the 1986 Thomas Edison film, in which this regal... 1896, right, even earlier. 1896, one of the first films in which the actress playing this regal mother is beheaded on screen through trick photography.
Well, I think back to Lillian Gish as the symbol of eternal motherhood and intolerance. A lot of those mothers at that time were sentimental figures.
Oh, yes. There were mothers occasionally used in comedy shorts, but in Intolerance and even more so in D.W. Griffith's Way Down East and then on her own in The Scarlet Letter, Lillian Gish played an all-sacrificing mother, even as Mary Pickford, the other great silent female star, who very often played women, girls much younger than she, occasionally played mothers and always showing 1,000% devotion.
So that set the tone for the way mothers would be depicted for a while?
The way mothers would, not women. With the flapper, with the jazz age, actresses like Clara Bow showed reflected the spirit of the time. Mothers, as even as most of D.W. Griffith's films did, harkened back to what might be a more idealized Victorian view of mothers.
So when did that change with sound films?
It did change. It did change with sound films. Mothers still had to go through tremendous torments, but now often they were working women. They were single mothers who endured the tawdriest businesses in order to support their children, like Helen Morgan in Applause. And they underwent, they would sometimes have to kidnap their child to reclaim them, like Marlene Dietrich in Blonde Venus. And there weren't too many saucy mothers, maybe Myrna Loy in as Nora Charles in The Thin Man, where she and her husband Nick, played by William Powell, did have a child eventually, but it was more an ornament than an essential.
Well, were things different pre-code and after the code?
The portraits of the wronged women, the martyrs, were more ferocious. When, let's see, is it Madame X, I believe, with Ruth Chatterton in 1929, where she plays a woman who has gone off to see her. A married woman who'd gone off to see her beau just as her child got sick, and she pays for it through most of the film. But she is also, she also raises herself to what we think of as sanctimonious or masochistic motherhood.
You divide the book into a number of categories of movie moms, like all American moms, malevolent moms. In real life, motherhood is a wide-ranging experience. Even the worst mothers have good sides, and the best mothers have their negative moments. Do you think that most of the films oversimplified mother characters into one-dimensional people?
I wouldn't say one-dimensional. Of course, the screen is two-dimensional, or was until until the last 5 years, when every blockbuster has to be in purported three dimensions.
But Sandra Bullock is not playing a mother in Gravity.
She is playing a mother in Gravity. She's playing a mother who lost her child. Oh. That's one of the reasons she feels that solitude. And she played a much more combative, adoptive mother in The Blind Side. But there was a period when in the 30s when women were and actresses were every bit the equal of men, and many films showed them as liberated as the men, career women. They weren't often career mothers, and those who tried it, this is at a time when only a quarter of women were employed outside the home. When they tried it, like Mildred Pierce, she becomes a very successful mother, but at the expense of losing her really bitchy daughter.
And in fact, ungrateful children are a major theme. Mm-hmm. We see them. There's Imitation of Life, where a daughter does not appreciate just how saintly her mother is.
There are three versions of Imitation of Life that I write about in the book. The first one. And we have to say that the stars are Claudia Colbert and Warren William, but the real mother-daughter tension is between Louise Beavers, who plays Claudia Colbert's maid and gives Colbert the recipe for pancakes that makes both of their fortunes, and her light-skinned daughter, played by Freddie Washington, who wants to become fully American at a time when African Americans were still second-class citizens. And because she can pass for white, and does, she is seen as a traitor to the Louise Beavers character, who simply will not counsel that blacks and whites should be equal if they look equal.
In the last version, it's Lana Turner.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot who played the African American mother.
Susan Koehner, who was the daughter of the Czech producer Paul Koehner and of the Mexican actress Lupita Tovar. So that's about as half-caste as she got. But there was, in Mexico, having its own golden age in the 1940s, produced a bizarre version of Imitation of Life called Little Black Angels, in which a light-skinned mother does not know she is thinks she is white and treats her maid, her dark-skinned maid, as a servant. And the maid, of course, is her mother.
Now, you have a whole chapter in this book called Mammies and Nannies, in which black women raise white children in many of the films. Of course, the most famous example is probably Hattie McDaniel's Academy Award-winning performances, Mammy and Gone with the Wind. It's interesting considering the attitudes about race in the country throughout all those years, how these women were depicted, usually as rather saintly figures.
There are three mother characters in Gone with the Wind. Scarlett becomes a mother with sad results, and the saintly Melanie, played by Olivia de Havilland, is gives birth and is birthed by Scarlett, because her maid Prissy don't know nothing about birthing babies, if you recall. And at the center is Mammy, who has no name except her job title, played by Hattie McDaniel, but who chastises Scarlett and Rhett when they misbehave and by her lights, and who is very often Scarlett's backbone and soul.
And then we have more recently a film like The Help.
The Help showed that in the 100 years between Gone with the Wind and the 1960s, the black women were theoretically and perhaps legally free, but they still worked for white women and raised the children of these women, and underwent some of the almost worse degradations than any of the blacks in Gone with the Wind had to. But then, of course, one of the maids gives the worst white woman her comeuppance.
My guest is Richard Corliss, whose latest book is Mom in the Movies. It's a large book with lots of great pictures, published by Simon & Schuster. Does the depiction of mothers in the movies reflect the times the movies are made in?
It certainly reflects the dramatic conventions. It also reflected the demographics of the audience. Movies were the one visual entertainment for the entire family for, let's say, 50 years up to 1950. And with everyone, with the entire family going to the movies, though, of course, not necessarily the same movies, there was a spur for Hollywood to show as many different kinds of mothers, fathers, and kids, and family films as possible. Then when television became the place that replicated the home, and there was a medium that was in the home, movies went both toward darker portrayals and an emphasis on men, and of course, and then later an emphasis on fantasy.
Well, at the same time, on television, we were seeing all those perfect moms in their aprons, always being so wonderful with Beaver and all those other kids. I wonder how much of the way mothers were portrayed came out of radio soap operas.
Well, radio soap operas and radio sitcoms, they generated, I'll make up a number, half of the popular shows on that in the early years of television. It happens that I grew up in a suburban Philadelphia home with a mother who was every bit as sweet and charming as Jane Wyatt in Father Knows Best or Harriet Nelson of the Nelson family, and I thought these were documentaries, you know, shot with hidden cameras in my own neighborhood. I had to meet the mothers and fathers of friends of mine to realize that that was not always the case.
So what happened when you saw films like Now, Voyager, or Mommy Dearest, which is a film that comes to a lot of people's minds when you think of mothers? They were nothing like your mother.
No, I wasn't looking for a mirror or for validation in movies. As I said, one reason there were not so many that it's always been tough to get mothers into movies is that mothers traditionally represent continuity, domesticity. All of their heroism, if you can call it that, is in raising a family and keeping it together, whereas movies are about getting out of the house and ripping up the status quo.
And mother roles were really great for actresses who had reached their 30s and 40s and now needed new kinds of roles. What's happening today? I mean, there are still films with mothers. Meryl Streep has played a fair number of them, Shirley MacLaine. But you say that in the last half century of film, mothers have become nearly an endangered species. Mm.
It's curious because, again, citing the demographics, and in the last half century, there were many more women working outside the home, and almost as many as the number of the percentage of employed men. And so there should be movies that reflect that. But as television became the medium of realism, even in the kind of realism that, if we look at 40s films, might seem more like fantasy, and Hollywood became the place where science fiction films and other fantasies dominated, usually about men with father issues, not mother issues. It was very hard for women to get roles, and I think we have to thank the Academy Awards. We have to thank the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences because they still break awards into actor and actress. So, and one, you know, serious goad for showing, for having films for older actresses is that they will get Oscars and make the money back that the production cost.
And I forgot to mention Debbie Reynolds as someone who plays mother. She wrote the foreword to this book along with her daughter Carrie Fisher. I guess some of the other actresses, Sally Field, Susan Sarandon, and of course Tyler Perry. He's been playing moms for a while. The film is called Mom in the Movies, published by Simon & Schuster in partnership with Turner Classic Movies, written by Richard Corliss. So are you going to do dads in the movies now?
Dads, I wasn't thinking about it until I almost, against my will, started noting very important father figures. And if I want to write about fantasy, you know, Luke Skywalker didn't have a mother problem, then maybe I should do dads in the movies.
Thank you again for being on our show.
Thank you, Leonard.